today's topic, we're going to be talking about superstitious versus supernatural. So, yeah, I think, you know, one of the things, I read the Book of Acts recently, like just the whole thing. I just like downed it.
Okay.
And I just, those people were just...
They were doing the supernatural.
They were doing
to the max.
So many things. And it like, it kind of inspired me. Not kind of. It definitely inspired me because you kind of come to a point where you're like, hey, if these people had the ability to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, and not, it wasn't just, you know, the apostles and, you know, the people who were appointed to lead in that like capacity, but even just like regular schmegular people,
regular schmegular people
were
doing
such incredible things. And like, I just was like, I wish that was something that we saw in the church today. I know that there are still miracles being done like across the globe, definitely, but I don't think we see it as vividly and as often as we should, knowing that we have the Holy Spirit. So I thought this would be like a really cool topic to tackle.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I like the fact that it is not supernatural versus the normal, but rather supernatural versus the superstitious. Because, you know, there's a huge extent to which I understand why the supernatural has died out so much.
Sure.
And I think for me, it's there are two main reasons in my experience anyways. Two main reasons. One of them definitely more important than the other. But primary influences too. So the first one being people are not as intimate with God as we used to be.
That's very true.
Yeah. So I was reading a book called Generals of God. And yeah, so while I was reading, I was picking up patterns, right? As you read through these people's lives. So whether it's someone who went and started a revival, right? Or someone, and I need to explain what I mean by that. Like, you find that there's a person who is seeking, earnestly seeking after God, reading the word, spending time. I mean, I remember there's this character, I just forgot his name, who got so immersed in his relationship with God that he would walk on the street basically talking to himself.
Sure.
Right? That's how isolated his relationship was. In fact, it ended up kind of, he was so immersed in his relationship with God that it eventually sort of, I want to say backfired, but at the same time, he had mental health issues in late in his ministry, right? Yeah, which were later taken advantage of. But the point I'm getting at is there was him, and then you get many others who had many different gifts manifest.
Sure.
The thing that I realized with them in that book, a lot of them weren't seeking after the gifts, like literally. They just focused on their relationship with God. Then they got into ministry. And then by surprise, to their own surprise and shock, like people started getting out of wheelchairs, something they had never seen before.
Sure.
So to me, it ministered a lot that what does earnestly seeking after God bring out of you? Right? And I think for me, that's the primary reason why we don't see a lot of we're calling it the miraculous, but and putting it under that umbrella, or the supernatural and putting it under that umbrella, right? We would know this commonly in the church as being the gifts of the Spirit, essentially, right? Yeah. And I think that one is, definitely the biggest one. The other one, which does not affect necessarily those who want to wield these gifts, those who wield it. It affects those both in the church and in the world. So I love to call it the Squid Game effect. I love it's a bad name to call it, but the reason is the Squid Game concept is very easy to explain.
Okay,
but you see it in many things. So The point I'm getting at is whenever something becomes popular, it eventually gets the attention of the nefarious.
Uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
Those who are ill-willed.
Yes.
Those who are coming as wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm.
Anything that become that human beings developed a trust for and develop a hope, they tie their hope around.
Yeah.
So whether you're talking about politics or you're talking about religion or you're talking about family or you're talking about something as simple as a boyfriend, right? Those who know that you want to put your trust in this thing, they discover, oh, everyone wants to fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, let me go to dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that are actually, they see us as prey.
Sure.
The rest of us as prey.
Sure.
You understand? And they are basically the predators.
Yeah.
So that's one of the two big reasons why people are either not expectant or not pursuing the supernatural. Because too many nefarious people have used the supernatural to gather crowds and audiences and milk them.
Absolutely.
And in other instances, which is the sad part, you actually find that those that are nefarious at times actually are gifted, right? And they're using those gifts in order to get money, to get, you know, to abuse the Church of God, to not feed the sheep, but to eat the sheep, the sheep. That sounded so wrong.
We are eating mutton.
You know, I like that. Yeah. But basically for me, those have been the two big ones that I've observed. Yeah. I don't know if you've observed the same or experienced the same.
Yeah. It was a very deep question for me. Especially for like the past 2 weeks, like I've just been in different meetings with people of God who have those gifts and they're really, agreeing with what you said, that's not what I want to say, but anyway, you get what I'm saying. Just to like bounce off what you said, it really comes from a place of hunger and intimacy with God. But I think, you know, I understand people who are very hesitant and they're just not about this whole supernatural thing.
Yes.
They think that the supernatural thing was for the times of Jesus and the New Testament and like it's done now. But I get it because, you know, you have to be very careful because as you said, the gift comes from God.
Yeah.
Right? So he gave us gifts regardless. There is a purpose built in every single one of us. But you have the responsibility to use it for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
The same way that God doesn't take away a singer who's doing demonic things, their voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the exact same thing. It says in the Bible that the gifts are without repentance, which means that he doesn't take them when you're acting cray-cray.
Mm.
And so I definitely see that. And I think one of the things that kind of was challenging me was, you know, we see early on in the Bible, in Exodus, we see that Moses does these miracles and the magicians can copy him. And I think that's one of the things that we need to be careful of as Christians, not to be close-minded of the supernatural, but to be aware that there are people who have nefarious agendas, who are of the kingdom of darkness, who can do the same thing, you know? You know, we have prophets, we have people who can prophesy. The kingdom of darkness has people who can divine.
Yes, yeah.
And it's for us to have the gift of the discerning of spirits, which is a gift.
Yes, yes.
To know the difference between where these things are coming from. And I think that is why a lot of us are so, hesitant to believe in the supernatural. We're like, we see people getting healed. We're like,
Sums up.
Where'd you get your powers from?
You know, I was listening to an interview. You know, Trevor Noah's doing the tour around South Africa, which I think is pretty remarkable because he's also helping our tourism game as a country.
Come now.
But point I'm getting at is he was doing an interview and they were asking him or talking to him about how what are his views on the current state of South Africa? And he went in and basically made the point that a lot of us in South Africa have gotten so used to the idea of corruption. It's been so embedded within us that even when someone is just doing a business deal, right, an innocent business deal, we cannot fathom that that business deal is an innocent business deal between two people having a handshake. Yeah. Right. Especially when it has to do with a lot of money.
Yes.
And it has primed many of us to expect corruption.
Sure.
If I can tell you the number of load shedding conspiracies I've heard from normal, decent people.
Yeah.
Right. People I'm sitting with across from in meetings. Everyone has a different conspiracy as to what's happening with load shedding.
Mm.
I've heard a theory that we're being paid to have load shedding as a country.
That's quite deep.
Right. And that's the thing about when you as a people are now primed, right?
Mm.
It's not that corruption doesn't exist. It's not that corruption is not rampant. The thing that's an issue now is this. You have been so exposed to it that you are now tuned to identifying
yes.
it even when it doesn't exist.
You're looking for it.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're now looking for it. And I think that's the sad part, because There are places where God is trying. I love how you introduced some of the gifts that you're talking about, right? Because we have to acknowledge that there are denominations and people that basically don't believe in gifts being
yeah.
a thing
yeah.
at all, right? Which is fine. If you're part of those denominations, we're definitely not trying to offend you in any way.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to get as is gifts are so basic, right? In the sense of you mentioning the fact that something as simple as discerning from good and evil is a gift.
Yeah.
That's literally faith.
Is a gift.
Believing. There are people who can literally who have a faith that endures, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking at them and you're like, I've stopped believing.
Long ago.
You are remarkable. Right, there are just some people who are able to endure even giving. Like,
that's
can
a
you
gift.
Just the simple thing of giving, right? And it's really, really remarkable, especially when you're reading like the God's Generals that
yes.
book, like how they will show you the lengths which people went to believe God for the most basic of things.
Sure,
like believing God to give to a group of kids that are orphaned, right?
Sure.
Believing God to give to, I mean, the world has experienced so many famines.
Yeah.
We just don't call it famine anymore.
Yeah.
It's now at recession.
Yeah.
Right? We have a very fancy term for it.
Very fancy
yeah.
words.
But anyways, I love the fact that you brought attention to the fact that gifts are things that if you're saying you're walking in faith, faith is a gift of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Discernment is a gift of the Spirit.
Mm.
Giving is a gift of the Spirit. That's literally something the Holy Spirit strengthens you to do.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, oh man, there's just so much to this. And I really wanted to actually touch about one thing that you mentioned, which was the fact that these generals were very intentional and I guess very dramatic, if you want to say, about their pursuit of God. And I wanted to like kind of touch on that, because I think that we as a church have become very lazy. You know, it's just so convenient. Everything is so convenient. I don't have to read my Bible because I can put on a podcast. I don't have to pray because, like, for my church,
such a good point.
My church, our apostle sends us prayers. Like, we have a church WhatsApp group.
Okay.
So we just get broadcast prayers every morning.
Aish.
I don't have to pray.
Delivered at home.
Because I can just put this thing on there and it has the scripture of the day somewhere there as well.
Yeah.
So I can just, you know, I've done my devotions for today. I'm all good. We can't pray for more than 10 minutes.
Mm.
10 minutes is too long. We can't, you know, hunger and thirst after God. We can't exercise the things that we have been given as gifts, you know? Like, we don't even have the capacity to go out and reach out to people and share about our faith.
Yes.
Let alone to strangers. We can't even do it to people that we know aren't believers who are in our circle. So I think that the problem is, we have a hunger problem. You know, it says, I think the verse of today actually is, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Yes, yes.
From Matthew 5 somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, hunger. Like, are you actually hungry for the righteousness? Someone is hungry to see orphans being fed and taken care of. So they will go to God and they'll do what they need to do. They will go and ask him and petition and pray and believe that God is going to, you know, supply their needs. Or deliver them. And I think also part of the problem is we have too many options as I want to say we're not really a third world country, but we kind of are. But I don't know. But for the middle class believer, I don't have to have faith to go and buy my groceries for the month because I have a job.
Exactly.
I have options. Mm. Okay, cool. The job is gone. I've got a credit card.
Mm.
Okay, cool. The credit card is maxed out. I've got friends. Okay, cool. This is maxed out. Ooh, I'll go get a grant. There's always another option. And I think the problem is we keep putting God on the back list of everything. He's not our first option.
That's a difficult thing for me to navigate. Eh?
Sure.
Like finding that balance of living by faith and living in comfort.
Listen.
Right?
Because the convenience is convenience.
Yes, it definitely is.
And I think, you know, at the end of the day, if we were to shift our focus more on God and ask God first, before using our other options, maybe he will tell you, listen, use the credit card. I'm not saying that he won't, but you know, I think our first response to crisis and our first response to things that are going around in this world should be, let's ask God about it.
Yes.
He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. So why try and figure it out on yourself and then see flames when you have all the answers if you just ask?
I have an interesting view with regards to that specifically. Mm. I think this is why I began by saying, for me, exactly what you're touching on now, the biggest issue is the fact that we don't seek relationship with God.
That is true.
Right? You know, seek me first and then all these things shall follow. Right?
And his righteousness.
Exactly, exactly. So the issue that I've found is that all of these individual things that we, you know, even to a person who does not believe in spiritual gifts, I'm honestly convinced that if you were to seek God and seek him with a sense of sincerity, you would start to see so many things shift around you.
Yeah.
You'd notice your ability to discern, your ability to make wise decisions. It would honestly shift. It would be very, very different.
Yes.
And I was saying that I have a very interesting view because I am a big believer in, and I've seen it in it. It's also because I've seen it in my life as well. If my relationship with God is right and it's I've dedicated myself to seeking him, knowing who he is.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about which I've made the mistake of doing. I've sought God as a chore. I have to read the Bible before going to bed. And literally tired, coming from a hectic day at work. Those who work in retail understand what it means to do stock take, right?
Sure.
When you're doing stock count, you're counting every single thing in the whole store. Like after having that type of a night and coming home and being like, ah, I need to read the word. And it doesn't click to me that that's not how you build a relationship.
Sure.
Imagine living with your partner and you're tired. Right. You're tired and not having, because this is a relationship. Go sleep, my love. It's okay. We'll talk in the morning.
Yes.
Right. We'll wake up to a nice cup of coffee and some breakfast and we'll have a chat in the morning and have our laugh. Right. How can God not understand that?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Us.
Exactly. It's a flowing, it's an organic and it's a living relationship. So I feel like a lot of people are, and it makes sense, right? Why we struggle so much to find security in the pursuit of relationships. Because let's take God and gifts, right? And liken it to a wealthy, caring, loving and giving parent who has access to resources.
Yes.
How could they keep them away from you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They love you.
You know what I mean?
You get the gifts.
Exactly.
Regardless.
Exactly. Like the relationship is the one that's important.
That's true.
Like and it makes sense why Jesus would make examples like how many of you ask your kids ask you for bread and you give them a rock or a snake. You know what I mean?
He made such intense and vivid pictures, I tell you. Can I also say, though, not to discard what you're saying, I agree with you. It is important to have a relationship with God. I think also to balance it is to also realize that...
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm going to say this nicely. But anyway, I think that also there is a responsibility for us to seek him when it's not convenient.
Yeah.
Because I think the problem we can get into, I'm seeing like a loophole for some people, and that's why I want to close it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to be like, I'm always tired. You know, I don't have time for this Jesus thing. And he holds my heart. I get you. We are tired, but there is a space for us to sacrifice something. Something's going to have to give.
Mm.
Because I think if we don't foster that relationship, as we said, if we don't foster it, which does take us to actually do stuff, we do need to read the word. We need to know who our God is. We need to understand his kingdom. We do need to pray. We need to converse with him. Because if we keep postponing, that is essentially also destroying the intimacy.
I completely get what you're saying. Okay. I think this is a very awesome point to be at.
Yeah.
Because this is usually where a lot of people tend to get it wrong.
Okay.
Where it's literally an issue of balance. Right?
It is.
An issue of balance. Because it's the reason I'm bringing up the idea of if you're tired, go to sleep, wake up when your mind is present.
Mm-hmm.
And have your intimate moment with God then.
Yes.
Because then, if you're always doing it when you're tired, you are literally turning it into a chore, right? That's a huge danger because now it is equivalent to your... It's not that it won't benefit you, but it is equivalent to you having to wash dishes. Do you understand? I don't like washing dishes. Imagine the feeling of going to build a relationship with someone and it'd be like, I don't enjoy this, but I'm here. Who would want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't even enjoy being here?
Sure.
Right? The reason I'm saying is that this is usually where a lot of people get it wrong, is because this is where churches split into, and I don't want to use the term churches in as much as, because at the end of the day, churches are individuals,
yes.
Right? But this is where we end up either becoming too legalistic.
Yes.
Or you'll find a person moves towards we usually call them the, not necessarily the term I wanted to use.
Okay.
But that is a very good term.
Okay.
So you'll get those who fall into the grace camp.
Yes.
Where God forgives me of everything.
Heart.
He knows my... But now here's the thing,
Yes.
Here's what I've learned, and I've observed this quite a lot. In our fear of not wanting people to fall into the grace camp, we often don't realize that we constantly tell them that it's better for you to be this side than to be this side, right? Which both can be very toxic.
Absolutely.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
So the trick is to try and sort of speak people into the middle, that a healthy, living, organic relationship will often sway into both camps, but not move too far.